talked over that noise they're making there.
Okay. In that book, which I'm reading now, When the Good Fortune Dies, Govinda Maharaj, he's mentioning about, briefly, about the concept, Guru Tattva concept, Vyasti Samasti Guru. What is it about? What does it mean?
I don't know what context he's using it in, so I'd have to read to see. Often there are these different types of terms, terminology, that's used in some specific way by acharyas to emphasize some specific development or advancement in Krishna consciousness, but they fall outside the regular or the basic description of Shiksha Guru, Diksha Guru, Vaikuntha Varshika Guru, and so on. And or they're not outside, they're within, but they're more detailed. And they're meant to sort of emphasize some particular development or aspect of Krishna consciousness, and just to extract some particular function or stage of Diksha Guru, Shiksha Guru, or their level of advancement. Maybe you should hold this because I think Gwen's going to blow these away. Oops. Name sound. Names are familiar, but I can't remember the details of what it's about.
Something like that. There is one guru who is one Adi Guru who is manifesting in a multiple of different forms of guru. And sometimes I also heard these explanations, but I just wanted to.
Who's the one guru? One guru is a jiva, or the one guru is the Krishna?
Krishna, Vyasti, and then Samasti, different jivas. Or his manifestations, something like that.
So that's Diksha Guru, and then maybe Shiksha Guru, maybe Shiksha Gurus, depending on the need of the individual and the circumstances, namely that a person may not have association, so much association with Krishna Guru, or he may. So Vishwanath says, I only have one guru. And someone may have many, many gurus. Little circumstances will determine. Shuniti was Shiksha Guru, but her instruction was very limited as to what she was telling Dhruva, whereas Narada became Diksha Guru and also Dhruva's deliverer. And then later on, Kuvera gave Dhruva further shiksha. So we see that there, and who knows what else, or who else there was there in his life in all that period of time. So Krishna's there, Krishna's the Adi Guru, and because he manifests Vedic knowledge, transcendental knowledge through Vyasadeva, so we always consider Vyas as the original spiritual master. And then spiritual masters are represent, at least those who are in the role, Krishna's Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, but in the role of Guru, Vyasadeva is Guru, Krishna. consciousness, Supreme Lord, so he's everything. And then spiritual masters are representatives of Vyas, even Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur distinguishes the Shiksha Guru as actually being a representative of the Diksha Guru, at least in terms of the proper etiquette, even though the Shiksha Guru may be more important, more advanced, or may take different roles. So, just like Krishna says, Yomam Pashyati Sarvatra, a real devotee sees Krishna everywhere. Similarly, Prabhupada said, I see my spiritual masters always with me. Because wherever Krishna is, then Guru must also be there. So if someone will have that type of consciousness, then we'll also have that consciousness that my spiritual master is also present with me. And in that sense, devotee needs to be sort of open, just like we need to be open, receptive, conscious to seeing Krishna. We need to be open and conscious to seeing how Krishna's representative is also communicating to us. Otherwise, the message may come, but we're not hearing because we're paying attention somewhere else, or because we're not so tuned in. And because in the ultimate sense, not in the ultimate sense, when we talk about Guru, because Guru means Vyasadeva, Guru means Krishna, so in that tattva, then everything is possible because Krishna can make everything possible. And so faith in spiritual master really means faith in Krishna. That if someone is sincere devotee, then Priti Purvakam Vuti Yogam Tam, then Krishna comes to that person. And that's the important thing, to be receptive and aware, always eager to advance in Krishna consciousness, and conscious of the different elements that constitute advancement in Krishna consciousness: holy name, process of devotional service, connection with spiritual master, and then Krishna ensures that everything happens nicely, progressively.
Also, he's saying that the spiritual master should not be just Mantra Datta Guru, but he should be also a Krishna Datta Guru and Ashraya Datta Guru. And I was wondering if the mantra in itself already contains Krishna, so why he's emphasizing,
because he shouldn't be just someone who gives a mantra, and mantra may be there, but just because someone has mantra doesn't mean that automatically, and he has Krishna, but that Krishna is manifest, because he needs guidance in chanting the mantra. To explain the mantra, to explain the process of chanting, to help one advance in Krishna consciousness until the stage that, yes, Krishna is spontaneously, naturally manifesting when we chant. So he's not just someone who says, here's the mantra, Hare Krishna mantra, especially then give me some dakshina, but that he's someone who helps you unlock the secrets of the Maha Mantra, of Gayatri mantras, and by doing that, then he's giving real Ashraya. And that's why in that sense it's an important thing for devotees to be able to have connection with the spiritual master, because then they have to ensure that they're getting these things from somewhere else. So that's why physical proximity is beneficial, and why, at least in my opinion, when devotees don't have sufficient connection with their spiritual master, especially young devotees, because young devotees tend to be very much oriented towards their Diksha Guru, and until they really sort of developed and matured in Krishna consciousness, then it's hard for them to see spiritual master elsewhere. It's hard for them to... That's a Kanishka Bhakta. So, Archaiva Hari. So he sees Krishna in the Devi, he sees Krishna in his Diksha Guru, but beyond that, not so easy. So, in order to help someone become purified, in order to develop their faith, then yes, access should be there to the Diksha Guru. But if there's a nice system and devotees have opportunity to get good guidance, senior guidance, then that's also important. Okay, let me just do this puja. One reason why Lord Chaitanya advised his devotees, Bhavashishya Nakadevi, don't accept too many disciples, because accepting them, initiating them is the easy part. But then you have to give a shraya, you have to give shraya, you have to give guidance. There's a responsibility of taking them back to Godhead, and it's a personal one, it's not a small thing. Like parents, having children is easy, but it's not that once you have children then you just leave them out on the street alone. You have to raise them until they can take care of themselves. But even then, parents always maintain their connection. So it should be like that. It shouldn't just be simply going through the formality of initiation, but giving guidance, ensuring that the disciple is progressing until that stage where at least he's so advanced that he can be his own guru through the means of the holy name and sadhu sangha and reading Srimad Bhagavatam, that he's come to that progressive stage. Srila Prabhupada had no alternative. The Prabhupada really invested a lot of authority in GBCs, sannyasis, senior devotees. I would say that in one sense we had as much reverence for senior devotees than as devotees now do for maybe Diksha Gurus. I mean, really empowered devotees, and then that really worked, but he had no alternative, and that was to realize Lord Chaitanya's mission. just like taking initiation, that also more than just getting a mantra and getting a spiritual name and then just sort of languishing, but it's also to do with going deeply into Krishna consciousness, really wanting to be an advanced Vaishnava, and taking responsibility for the mission of spreading Lord Chaitanya's mission. It's not a small thing.
Radha is leaving in 15 minutes.
She can come. So, yeah, that's, and then, you know, Prabhupada would say that the responsibility of the disciple is to become guru. And it sort of completes his, never completes his duty, but at least that's one of the real obligations and duties that pleases the spiritual master, is when he becomes guru.